This is KWAI Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Hey, good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. sitting here. That was the Isley Brothers, and I thought I'd play that for my little buddy out there in Ever Beach, Choice Williams, and the rest of my friends and all of you. So anyway, got Calvin Griffin in the studio with me today, and we're going to be talking about our favorite subject, veterans treatment, veterans hardships, veterans, and then the veteran politician, mm-hmm. and then the administrators who have forgotten that they actually, if it was, were not for the veterans, they wouldn't have a job.
There you go.
To go out to Shafter to play, instead of shafting the veteran, they stay away from Shafter playing golf every day. And but in all seriousness, Calvin and I share quite a bit on this interest of veterans, and we're concerned with the current practices at the U.S. Vet Center at YWCA, and we're going to talk about that and some of the other things and the failure. The gross neglect on the part of Ron Hahn, Betts, Tracy Betts, and the director. And I was going to play an audio where I call in to Miss Betts, but she apparently, you see, they get so big up there and up top, they can't talk to little guys like us. So we're going to hang with the little guys and try to make the big guys do what's right. Right, Calvin?
There you go.
So good morning and welcome back.
Well, thank you very much for having me on the program. As you mentioned, yeah, as far as with the veterans, you know, we'll be, of course, getting to a lot of things. You've already been touching on a lot of things that's been going on with, of course, with the U.S. vets and mm-hmm. what's happening with the YWCA. But a lot of people are out there are not aware of what's going on in the veterans community as far as veteran services, things of that nature. And we have a lot of dirty little secrets that are not being properly addressed, and it is really affecting in a major way not only the veterans here in the state of Hawaii but across the country. And we're talking about some very serious systemic problems that need to be addressed.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've talked about this facility and the U.S. vets' failures and Ron Hahn, and some probably out there thinking, can't you let it go? But in reality, this is an opportunity afforded to us all to, rather than be accusatorial and claiming that the Veterans Administration is failing the veteran, mm-hmm. this is a perfect example, and I will never let this one go.
Yeah.
We got rotten meat being fed. We got people being taken to churches to a church to work against their will. To do all of that, and when they reach out to the veteran, reaches out to the administration, they're told you might as well shut it down. Don't bother to write those people because they're not going to listen anyway. So that's way beyond. You and I have discussed veteran issues, but that's it gives us an opportunity to call it what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to chase the rabbit down the hole, mm-hmm. and we're going to see. Everything, and I won't let this one go because Daryl Vincent, he owes this community better service, better response, and he owes the veterans better response.
Yeah. Well, like I said, there's a lot of things that need to be addressed, and just a point of clarification. I know that, of course, recently you've been talking with Mr. Hahn and, of course, trying to get in touch with Ms. Betts about...
Well, I talked to Hahn one time. See, mm-hmm. he's like the Hahn dynasty when it comes to talking to little guys like me. He don't have time, you know, when he do talk to you. Yep. I talked to him once, mm-hmm. and he was so surly and condescending, and matter of fact, that it was... I terminated the phone call.
Yeah.
I didn't hang up on him. I just didn't have enough... brain cells left to manure. I'm not trying to grow, you know, mushrooms in my brain. So the manure that he was spreading was, anyway.
Yep. Okay. Cause just like I say, again, this point of clarification, I know, of course, with your, you know, your interaction with him and mine a little bit different,
right.
again. Because right now, just the point of, again, open and being honest and everything else. I'm on the Veterans Committee.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Hahn and also Ms. Betts and a few other people in the VA, of course, I have a different kind of relationship with them. And some of the conversations that we have had, Mr. Hahn and I, of course, A lot of it has been off the record. And so there's a lot of things right now. I don't want to breach their confidentiality and not to go ahead and play any games or nothing like that. Mm-hmm. But as far as, yeah, with the, like I say, just want to make that point of clarification anyhow. But, no, as far as with the system is concerned, as you say, there's a lot of things that going on, they say, with I believe with U.S. vets that I've seen personally, and a lot of things I'll be addressing today or we'll be talking about is firsthand information that I have, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's for those out there who are not aware and haven't been out there, again, you hear these different programs about what's supposed to be good for the veterans, and unfortunately, I think that some of the what your investigations have shown that there's very serious shortcomings, especially with the facility out there, and the curious relationship between U.S. vets and Cloudbreak. That's another one that mm-hmm. needs to be investigated. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm sorry, I just wanted to
Yeah. Well, you know, when a gentleman like man like Ron Hahn talks to someone off the record, then he's wasting your time, my time, and anybody else's time. Because, see, what he did, if he's discussing the, let's say, this is just my opinion, if he's discussing with you the failures and shortcomings at YWCA, and he's discussing you off the record, I'd go back on record and ask him, why on earth did you allow this facility to engage? And why did you stand by and let them take $28.4 million in this portion of that in this program, and you didn't place any checks or balances? Why is it that the veterans can get hammered and get screwed around over there and be fed rotten meat, you know, as probably, I guess, off the record it would be, how's this golf score? You know, but as far as you know, I think we need to hold these guys. If we're truly going to fight for the veterans, I would say if he approached me and shared with me something off the record, I would have to say I'll accept that later. But for right now, I want to speak on the record and say to you that you should have put in place at that facility at minimum checks and balances where the veteran can have a sign posted. If you need contact information and you need to speak with someone, you know, and if you're having problems, retributions, retaliations for speaking out, or just, you know, being fed rotten mutant, spoiled drinks, give us a call, right? And and so I think this is the, and they say off the record, and another thing they like to do, and he tried this with me, well, it's a privacy matter. And it's like, no, it's not a privacy matter. This is about taxpayers and the best thing going for the veterans. And so I think that if it was militaristic terms, I would say dereliction of duty.
I think there's a lot of questionable things that's going on, as far, again, and a lot of it is systemic problems. There's one thing I'd like to say that I've learned as far as dealing with the VA and some of the other different institutions out there is that it is systemic. We have people out there that even though there's flaws in the system, there are some people out there, like say, who know are busting their butts working with working with what they have to work with. I believe, and I've said this in private, and I'm unapologetic about this particular statement, is that we have bean counters in certain areas of the VA and that sit down these policies. And in a way, I think the common consensus among veterans is that they're waiting for the veterans to die off so they can balance the books. And when you see some of these programs that they put in place where they start programs and they put it out in public, okay, we're doing this or that for the veterans and we love them and all this good stuff, and then either the program is underfunded or understaffed, and therefore the system is set up to fail, you know. So even though, actually, I do have some major problems, like, say, issues with the VA system, I must say that there are people out there that are trying the best that they can, you know, not making excuses for anybody. But the thing is, you know, there is some – this still is much, much bigger than locally. You know, it definitely has to do on the national level also.
Yeah, well, I try to look at it from this – if one veteran is suffering, and if one veteran is having to eat rotten meat, I don't give a damn how big they are on the mainland, what they do. That tells me the system is flawed, and what is really troublesome is when – that party tries to document and alert others up higher up, and then they're retaliated against. You know, I would say I'd have to be very cautious at even allowing it to creep into my psyche that what good they're doing abroad, you know, or what helping the little lady across the street.
Yeah.
you know, because when you take a person who has contributed to the freedom of this country, mm-hmm. and then you define that person by relegating them to they're homeless, mm-hmm. they're struggling, and then you dare them to speak out. Mm-hmm. Dare them. This is the same guy that was over there in the foxhole fighting for you.
Yeah.
And then now you know. So I just think that there's some problems going on with this program, and that's why I'm so excited about this one, because it's rare to get a clear mm-hmm. picture, not muddled. This is where the Veterans Administration got the pants down, mm-hmm. and they're caught in bed with the vendor, period.
Yeah.
I ain't going to talk about what's going on in Maryland and how they're treating them and helping the veterans across the street. I'm talking about right here. We got them, man. Mm-hmm. We got them in our sights. We know what they look like. We know what they act like. And if we work on them here, Ron Hahn, Tracy Betts, and the others that allow this facility to develop with no checks and balances, they are playing a game now to cover their butts, you know. So one second, I think there's a caller. Good morning. How are you? You have a comment or question?
Oh, yeah. Good morning, Carol. Thank you for taking my call and having Calvin on. I miss his shows.
Yeah.
About the VA and whatnot. I recently talked to Colleen Hanabusa, Congresswoman Hanabusa, another radio station this past Thursday morning, and I asked her about the VA. How's the VA doing, you know, with the budget cuts and everything, and I asked her about that, and she said, well, the VA is can't be touched, you know, they have the funds and everything for it. But she said the only problem she sees with the VA is processing the claims when these young men and women come back from war
mm-hmm.
and have to put their claims in. And she mentioned Eric Shinseki is doing a good job. But to you, Calvin, do you think the congressional delegation knows really what's going on with the VA?
Yes.
Besides the claims,
is
Hanabusa out of touch, or
yes.
the rest of the delegation?
Yes, I believe they are. I believe they're fully aware of what's going on, because if overall, if you look at the process and how things are going, they're quick to say, okay, well, this is how many claims we processed. And on several occasions where I went during the council meetings or other occasions, when you say, okay, well, you processed these claims, but how many did you deny? You know, and that's one of the things that they're reluctant to talk about. Overall, like I say, as far as the system is concerned, we're talking about the systemic problems. It's like, okay, yeah, we're doing this, but the thing is, you could be doing a heck of a lot more, you know, especially when you have someone that put their butts on the line, served their country, and then not only the battles that they have to fought either on the area of, you know, combat areas or different things serving their country, it's when you get back here and you have to go around and fight another system. And a lot of it, like I say, is just, it's built in, and a lot of times they'll say, well, you know, we're getting this being improved. But a lot of cases, the fact is, as those who are familiar with the veterans community, you basically have to know somebody to get your claim processed in a very timely manner.
Right.
Anytime we're talking about 180 or even plus more, people are waiting for 10 years or more, like say in extreme cases. But in a lot of cases where you're waiting for all that period of time, and in the meantime, while you're waiting to get your claim processed and all these, you know, what's due you, all right? Your family is suffering. We have veterans who are literally dying, because their claims have been denied, or, like, say, it's been obfuscated with a point where, okay, well, you put it in, but you change this word, so therefore you got to go back to square one. So in the meantime, the families are picking up. It's causing an extreme financial hardship on a lot of these families, because the medical treatment has to come out of their pocket until and if they're reimbursed by the system.
And then another thing is, I dealt with, I used to work at the Marine Base here in Kaneohe. And I had friends in the Marine Corps. And, you know, when they come back, there's a storm, there's a shoot, as well as the Gulf War, recent Gulf War and whatnot. It's very frustrating when they come back and they try to put their claim in. And you know, a lot of them just get their medical records before they come back. So they have proof that they have, you know, 80 to 100% or whatever to get their benefits and whatnot.
Yeah.
It's a shame that this thing has happened to the VA, and I commend you and Carol for your the show and your efforts and whatnot.
Well, thank you.
Aloha.
Aloha. Now, I ask one of the clients to call in from that's over there at the YWCA, and it's Tina Quizon. So, Tina, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you, Carol, for bringing this to the forefront.
Yeah. Well, briefly, I've mentioned your some of the issues that you've experienced over there, and at the YWCA, U.S. Vets, you can give the correct title of it, but the question is, when I spoke to Ron Hahn, you know, the always it's the snaky way of fashion of, well, we can't talk about privacy. This is after, even after I admonish him that I'm not calling to talk about privacy issues. There's no privacy issue to feeding veterans rotten meat or expired meat. Mm-hmm. There's no privacy in allowing a vendor to first set up and operate and then have flaws and then feeding the governor and others shrimp off the barbecue and champagne glasses and, you know, valet parking. There's no privacy issue there. So that speaks to the integrity of that program and of that these individuals that are the so-called leaders. And if they want to challenge me, I would suggest they step down or wrong. They say I'm too low. My station or my radio show is not big enough. but it's not like nothing like having a little chihuahua grab hold of your ankle.
Yeah. Yeah, at a certain point where
it's nice being a watchdog and not a lap dog, right? So, but anyway, Tina, tell us about your experience over there briefly, if you could.
Well, I'm having repeated retaliation against me for filing my complaint, and I'm being stripped of any due process in an effort to protect my medical records and other information. I've not been afforded when I try to seek a remedy of my formal complaints, and I've been actually several times ordered to sign documents of a disciplinary action for filing my complaints to retired General Shinseki.
Mm-hmm. Now, your original complaint, you mentioned medical records. What's the background or circumstances around that?
On several occasions, my files and other clients' files were left out in numerous areas, unsecured. And I took my file and secured it, and I notified Mr. Daryl Vincent mm-hmm. of this. And I filed a complaint to General Shinseki after being asked to sign a disciplinary action letter for mm-hmm. The heirs of the administration to leave the files unsecured.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So would you describe your situation there and others? What is the heir like there? Is it I've described it as I had my own description. What would you describe it as for the listeners?
You already come in, you're homeless, and you're already there because you're needing help. And then instead of getting help, it's like a micro, where are you going, what time are you coming back, scrutiny. And then if you try to speak out about anything that, whether it's a lack of the van, you know, to get the clients up to the VA, like we're told from mm-hmm. every day and see on our schedule, having career development, you know, mm-hmm. Having classes that actually help to empower you mm-hmm. and make you, it's a heavy mm-hmm. air full of just one thing after another of what time, where you've been, scrutiny, and mm-hmm. and then if you speak out, they're looking at the videos to see who talked about the old meat they were giving us. So it's not a healthy environment at all. It's not holistic. Mm-hmm. And then when you try to get something through Shinseki, you're told he doesn't care about you by the vendor and that they're doing their own investigation and you need to stop writing to General Shinseki that he's
saying,
mad at you.
You're saying the vendor tells you that you share with me this, that no need in bothering to write those people, Shinseki, they're something to the effect they're too busy, they don't have time, and you should just stop. And they then submit you back to the cesspool of whatever it is. Does that come close?
And they tell me that I'm only allowed to talk to them about my complaint, mm-hmm. and because no one at the VA is going to take any action. Mm-hmm. And then they tell me that they've closed my complaint, and yet as late as last week, refer right back to my complaints when I'm in a meeting, a case management meeting, and just ask me about my budget and wanting a micro list of my budget. And I was like, well, we talked about this in January. Let's look at my file. And I touched my file. immediately Shelley McDowell informs him, don't touch that. Mm-hmm. You're not allowed to touch the files because of the earlier incident where about the unsecured files. And I'm thinking, I thought we resolved all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So with the situation up there, the Daryl Vinson and the others, have you had any real independent investigation by Ron Hahn or any of the veteran VA staff to sit down and investigate? Or has it always been I noticed Dahlberg signed off on a letter that the self-investigation that Daryl Vinson conducted. Have they, the VA, done any independent investigation with you?
No. I discovered, however, I went up there after some more retaliation last Wednesday, and I was trying to just get someone to listen and help me. And I'm in the women's group medical facility on the, I think that's the third floor, and they informed me that I need to call and talk to the, I believe it's the nurse advice line. I'm not sure there's that title. And they put me over to the manager because I'm asking for some help on my complaints. And his name is Rick Valesquez, is I believe the proper pronunciation. And he starts reading from a screen to me, Carol. He says, because I said, I need some help here. I'm filing my complaint. I'm not getting any response. There's been no independent investigation, and I'm every day having to live through more retaliation and harassment. And he says, well, ma'am, right here I'm reading the screen, and it says Andrew Dahlberg has a plan for you. And this is dated March 14th, 2013, and this plan that Mr. Andrew Dahlberg has for you says that you are to refer all your complaints to the grant per diem, Misty Kuyama, and the patient advocate.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first I'm hearing this, Carol. Okay. I've never received this from Andrew. This has never been communicated to me. So wow. I asked the manager, this is Rick Velasquez, I said, sir, can I get a copy of this letter, this communication that you're reading to me from the computer screen? And he says, well, I apologize. I can't print this from my screen. But what you can do is go downstairs to the first floor, go down to Mr. Andrew Dahlberg's office, and ask him for the copy of the plan so that you have it, mm-hmm. so that you know what the protocol is. Because mm-hmm. I had never gotten this. I had never seen it. So I go downstairs to the first floor, and I knock on his door, and Misty Kuyama opens the door, and I said, hi, may I speak to Andrew? And she's like, Andrew who? And I said, Andrew Dahlberg. And she says, well, he's in a meeting.
Okay.
And she says, you know, why don't you go sit in the front, and I'll go find him.
So
and,
you eventually talked to Dahlberg, and what transpired?
First he said there's no such communication.
No and such. Then, he denies that the letter that he wrote, any letter or plan, as Valesquez had reported.
Yes.
And then what happened?
And then he tells me, well, actually, Mr. Valesquez should not have been reading from that screen to you. Hmm. He says, I don't know why he's reading this information to you. And I said, so there is a letter.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a plan. And I said, so can I have a copy of it? And he tells me, well, if you want a copy, you have to go and file a formal request for mm-hmm. the information.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't get the letter. Dahlberg denies it, that a letter existed, but the other gentleman reads it to you without your knowing that it even existed, and now they don't. So let me ask you, congressional-wise, the political, have you attempted to reach out to the governor?
Yes, I sent him my complaint.
What was the result?
Never received any response.
You've never received any response from the governor's office?
No.
How about any other legislators or people that you've reached out? Have they responded?
I've reached out to Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard's office.
Mm-hmm.
and I asked them to look at. This is actually a different complaint.
Yeah, I understand. But what's the? Are you waiting for an answer from them, or what? Have you gotten?
Yes, I am. Had to file a privacy release form, so I sent them my complaint.
Yeah, that's standard. But I just want to know if you've had it. There's one second. Hold on. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question? Well, there's some veteran, maybe Ron Hahn. Sounds like Ron Hahn is calling in and hanging up. Call. I don't know if it is. But call if you want to call in and again, but then drop. But anyway, if we could sort of weed through some of the extra the comments and just, if you could, give us some specifics as to you have not received any independent investigation.
Not from Mr. Ron Hahn, not from Andrew Dahlberg.
From the Veterans Administration. Hold on.
No, I have not been contacted by General Shinseki.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Oh, what's up, Carol Cox?
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm fine. What you got there? Is this Josh?
Oh, this is Jacob.
Okay, Jacob, what's happening?
So what's the deal with this whole, like, North Korea thing?
Well, let me do this. Next hour, you call me back, and we'll talk about North Korea, North to Alaska and all that, okay?
All right.
Hold your horses. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question? Hello?
Hi, Carol. This reeks of that Next Step shelter, and we were convinced that there was no way you could make a complaint. There was no confidentiality. Everything was, and every time we would make a grievance, supposedly they had this process. We would submit tons and tons of grievances, and they would go nowhere. And what would happen is you call the voicemail. There was a special number for grievances. And then it would go on voicemail. It never got answered. So we came to the conclusion that it was just a kind of a phony thing. And then they tell you, go to this person. And, like, I mean, it sounds so familiar, just like your guests were saying.
Right. Calvin, hold on.
Then you go to this, and then they say, oh, well, we don't have it on our computer. Why don't you go to this person? And you go to this person, and you wait, and, oh, he's in a meeting. And on and on and on. Anyway, I'll make it short. It's just a shabai. Right. It is a big shabai. They have no way do they even want grievances. If you have a grievance, they want to. I mean, because it's just, you will expose their
got a question.
Their dysfunction.
Can I ask you a question? How long did you go through the process, or what was the circumstances in general of your dealings with the VA?
Oh my God! Well, I was in that shelter for a couple of years, so I mean, I gave up, and then that's exactly what they want you to do: is give up on those things. Anyway, I never got any grievances.
Okay. I'm sorry. Okay, so you would
redressed
U.S. Vets Next Step Shelter,
Next Step,
which is run by a facility that U.S. Vets have partnered up with so proudly, recently acknowledged or announced their.
Okay.
But what is it, Calvin? Seem that all have a commonality is that we are shoveling money to these entities such as U.S. Vets and the people that run the wellness center or the health center down there, and then in turn we see the same problems repeating themselves. Yeah. I mean,
the commonality is money. That's all it is. You know, it's lack of transparency.
Why the neglect, though? I mean, the money up top is one thing to give the money.
Yeah.
Why people like Betts and Ron Hahn and Dahlberg and Shinseki, how is it that you can hand money off to a person or to an entity and not know that you should have checks and balances?
Okay. A lot of times, like I said, when you talk about Mr. Hahn and the rest of them, you know, I don't want to pass this thing off. Like I said, you get personalities involved and all that stuff. Anyhow, but the bottom line, the thing is happening. There's just one little ugly little secrets. There's a lot of money that's being made within the veterans that's associated with the veterans programs, things of that nature. You have a lot of people. This is just the tip of the iceberg. The thing is, there are a lot of people in the know on the congressional and Senate level, different areas, that know what's going on. But if you start asking too many questions, there'll be a lot of people that should be going to jail, you know. And the last thing they want to do right now, like say, is open up this can of worms that's going to go ahead and cause all these major problems. So a ripple, you know, like I say again, not only here locally, but across the nation, you know. You got the wrong people in the right places who are padding their pockets based on veteran suffering.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, I would go on the mainland and fight that cause, too, but I can't afford the airline.
I know you want to stick with what's happening here.
This is how disingenuous Mr. Dahlberg is. He actually sends me a voicemail and says that there's no letter. He calls my phone, and then he sends me an email, and he tells me that I must have misunderstood the information provided to me by Mr. Velasquez. Mm-hmm. As we stated in our meeting.
Yeah, yeah.
And yet, he again tells me if I want it, I have to call and request, I have to write and request for my plan, something that's supposed to be the protocol for me now in regards to my complaints.
Yeah.
Then I have to do a formal request.
Your personal records.
Yes. And so I call Mr. Velasquez back, and he verifies again that. He was reading the screen. It's March 14th. It is Mr. Andrew Dahlberg's entry, and it's in regards to my plan for my complaints, referring it to the grant per diem, Misty Kuyama, and the patient advocate. And I had never heard from the patient advocate.
Well, the patient advocate is whom?
I found out. That day, I went down afterwards, and I believe it's Joanne Strodom, and I left the. Met her. I knocked on her door, and met her, and she's supposed to get back to me. She took a note and took my number, and it was interesting because she says, "Well, I've heard your name before. I've heard your name before."
Yeah. So but what I happened now with the, you have? She's in place. She's the advocate. Does she have an outreach to this facility, or just at the VA hospital?
At the VA hospital.
Okay, so she would know unless you.
And this is the first I learn of her.
Okay, but now that you know, you will be contacting her. But anyway, I just want to allow for a little time and share some of the. There's many, and again, I think what's happening is with this whole thing, Calvin, is that there's some people out there they want to play on the sympathy, and why is this important? It's easy to sing the song and talk, I'm for veterans, and I do this, and I do that. Right. It's a different thing. It's like the guy who sits there, and when music is going good, and he's feeling good, and he got all kinds of moves, right? Hmm. But get him to stand up and see if he really know how to dance, you see?
Yeah.
So this is what the veterans, they tell us as much as they want us to know, and they give out the money. And in veterans, it is so critical. We give so much importance to the Veteran Administration that the sequestration and things like that, we can't even touch the money. That and Social Security.
Yeah.
Those are two, like, the holy grails. Yet we have behavior that's tolerated, and by the way, this is an appointee of Neil Abercrombie, or as I like to say now, Neil's Abercronies, and that's what it is. The Abercronies in everywhere is you cannot justify. If I was any of them, and then there's this other element we have. You see the black flag with the white writing with the man on it, and that's what the MIA.
MIA flag.
So we're concerned that just we have flyovers in all of our grandest of ceremonies, military ceremonies. We have missing man flight. And all of that. We're extravagant. And we have give great honor, and we repatriotism of the bodies and that went down in the crash in war zones or whatever on foreign land to bring those veterans back. But then the live ones, we treat them as though the thing is, it's not just one occasion. So if we're worried about repatriotizing one person that went down in the jungles of Burma, then we damn well should be concerned with a few women And I mean, not see, I wouldn't. I think it's just would be, for me. I would never disrespect them.
Well,
but when you call them up and they tell you, well, we can't talk about that. It's privacy. Well, yeah. Wait, stop.
Yeah. Well, this is the real kicker. Excuse me. When you're talking about the money, we've been given updates from regularly by the different government entities mm-hmm. handling the VA. You know, like, and they're very proud of the fact that, wow, we got all these millions and millions of dollars, like say, to upgrade the mm-hmm. cemeteries. Okay. Yeah. Well. First off, you want to spend all that money. I mean, it's nice to honor our dearly departed and those who served our country. But I'm quite sure that most of those who had passed on that served their country would say, take care of the living first, okay? There's different ways you can honor the deceased and everything else. But when you talk about millions and millions of dollars that could be used for programs, like say mm-hmm. it would be beneficial to make sure that the living do not prematurely, like say, occupy these cemeteries, okay? Mm-hmm. That's what gets to me. I've asked this question frequently. How come there can't be a reallocation where, of course, we can take care of what needs to be done as far as honoring, but as far as taking care of the living, that's something totally different. Nobody mm-hmm. really wants to answer that question.
But they're in place. Oh. Ron Hahn has a job. Tracy Betts is a living entity. She has money, funding, and she won't talk to Tina Kazon. She won't talk to the other veterans, and then she won't talk to Carol Cox. But I guess she talked to you because you're part of the council or something?
Yeah, part of the council. But even then, like I say, it's just that, again, I like to believe that, you know, all the individuals involved are honorable. But the problem is, when, as you mentioned before, we talked about if you have a position of responsibility, and for whatever reason, you know, it's something that's fallen through mm-hmm. the cracks that you're mm-hmm. responsible for, then that's questionable. Okay. Yeah. Now, you know, again, I'm not, you know, I'm trying to be, well, I don't want to be tactful. The thing is this. Time to take the gloves off on this. The thing is, somebody fell asleep at the switch. There's people who are suffering, and then things need to be addressed. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. Honor isn't something you get when someone stick a pin on your lapel. Honor is how you behave. When you honor someone, it should be a privilege to serve soldiers. I will never sit and tell anyone that these are good people. They are good people.
Yeah.
That's not the debate. Mm-hmm. And if we allow to enter into our conversations and our psyche, then we become just as liable and culpable as they are, because I don't bother the veterans' business. It's mm-hmm. none of my business. Mm-hmm. But when people knock on my door and call the show and say, I need help because I'm not getting it, the discussion of if they're nice people and, you know, if they go to Easter egg hunts with, you know, it's fine.
Yeah.
But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about people that are failing and allowed a vendor to establish itself mm-hmm. with no constraints or very little constraints, mm-hmm. no checks and balances. And then when the veteran is victimized, the mm-hmm. purpose of the whole program is to serve the veteran.
Yeah.
And when the veteran is victimized, and then speak up, they move in to retaliate.
Yeah.
Those aren't honorable people. Those are people that are simply would might as well go to North Korea and sit there and join them, because it's our veterans who they got the $28 million in this program to administer.
Yeah.
And
it's big business. You know, like I say, a lot of people run around, they wrap themselves in flags, excuse me. You go to these different ceremonies, and sometimes it really upsets me when I go and certain individuals who are in certain positions of responsibility, who normally, if there wasn't a camera around or there's mm-hmm. there wasn't a photo op, they wouldn't even be there, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what gets to me. And the thing, and especially over here, everybody, if you know the right person, you're protected.
Yeah.
And that's the unfortunate thing about what's happening over here. There's too many questionable operations that's going around wrapped in the guise of protecting the veterans or serving and everything, and it doesn't necessarily happen. You have a lot of people within the veterans community, veterans themselves, who are doing more on a grassroots level
mm-hmm.
than a lot of people in these so-called departmental or state positions, you know. And, again, you know, we know what's going on out there with all these different organizations, the lack of response. You have groups that are well-known mm-hmm. that their membership is they got the numbers, but for the most part, the average veteran out there doesn't get involved. We have between 160,000 and 180,000 vets over here.
Mm-hmm.
And with the lack of responses, like giving you a quick example, they brought a van over here that's supposed to be processing claims and things of that nature. One van, all right? Mm-hmm. And it's been over here for quite some time. But yet and still they're saying, okay, well, we can only process a certain amount of people, blah, blah, the whole nine yards. They have maybe one or two people who are, you know, a very small staff in comparison to the actual size of the mm-hmm. veterans community mm-hmm. over here, mm-hmm. you know? And it's always that I used this word before that upset a few people, but the placebo effect. Well, okay, well, what are you doing? Well, we got this thing going on, and we're doing this, that, and everything else. Okay, fine. How come you're not doing a lot more? You know, this is unacceptable. This is immoral, the way we are treating our veterans, you know? And as you mentioned, there are a lot of people, like say, that are nice people, but, again, like say, in their positions where they're not really doing the responsibility, and that's a shame.
Well, I submit that the Carol Cox Show is not here. The purpose is to figure out who's nice or naughty.
It's Santa Claus's duty.
I don't believe in Santa Claus, and I don't believe in nice and naughty. If you're a government entity with a specific intent and purpose, that these are the things you're supposed to do. But what it is too much window dressing. This is the way I stand back and I look at this Veterans Administration. It's just window dressing. Yeah. Mind you now, there are some facilities that do good. I'm not gonna throw rocks at the entire program. Yeah. But if there's one suffering, then that tells me there are many because, see, the checks and balances are not there. And when I speak to Han and I speak to the Matthews and I can't speak to Betts, And I look and I see, and I'll ask you, Tina, to comment on this. You've had a circus of politicians to come to your facility, right?
Yes.
As recent as just last week was someone from Hirano's office?
Yes. I found out after when I find the card of the military liaison on the chair because when I tried to,
Were they there visiting the facility?
They were here visiting the facility. And when I asked Rhonda Jones, the YWCA manager at the front desk, I said, who, I noticed that you've got some guests here, diplomats. And she said, I'm not allowed to tell you mm-hmm. who they are.
Yeah. So this is, Calvin, an example. Supposedly, Ron Hahn is taking care of this and looking at the investigating. Supposedly, Dahlberg is to prevent all this. And while even being told now, they mm-hmm. failed initially. Mm-hmm. And when being told, this person is being ostracized and then harassed. Now, mind you, they may be able to proclaim that they just didn't need her in the meeting. Mm-hmm. But the parade of veterans as such, this place seemed to be a photo opportunity for our legislators.
Yeah. Well,
and these veterans can't seem to reach out and have a direct access to them and a thorough investigation, which there shouldn't be an investigation, to be honest with you. They should grab Ron Hahn and shake him until he come up with a plan immediately to put in place that then will ensure no further harm. Mm-hmm. And no further missteps such as these will occur again.
Okay. Again, like I say,
Carol, may I add, this is how bad it is.
Real quickly.
I was told by Jennifer Lloyd, who is a clinical supervisor, that I'm not allowed to contact the OIG. I'm not allowed to contact General Shinseki. And that I need to save all of my complaints for once a week to hold them, just hold my complaints, and just turn them in weekly.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to her, I shouldn't have to have any complaints. Why can't you just treat me with some decency and respect?
Yeah.
And not retaliate and harass me.
Yeah. But again, I want to say, Calvin, you know firsthand, or you've mm-hmm. gone to the facility, you know that Quizon is not the only one at having this problem. The young lady, Ms. Garcia.
No. Oh, yeah.
You were there. What did you find?
Well, the information that I got, like I say again, this is based on the information I got, is what happened with Tina, and like I say, is just totally unacceptable. Like I say, mm-hmm. the as far as the, I think she's been victimized. You know, mm-hmm. that's my take on it. Again, when I talked to Mr. Hahn, and again, a lot of the things we had said were off the record,
mm-hmm.
but one of the things that I did get from him was his personal assurance that he would do everything that was within his power, in his position, to make sure that there was a, let's just say that things would be rectified. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have to go with that for right now.
When I'm curious, it's just I don't want to put you on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
When someone engage in a matter like this and they say it's off the record, what do you do formally to ensure that eventually this will, what's said, will become official record?
Well,
I mean, you know, or is it just, you know what I mean? It's like talk is cheap. So when we go and say something is off the record, well, that's a very dangerous precedent and a very, it's not a calculated, for me, because it's open-ended. And when do you return to the table to discuss what was off the record and make it now public record?
Right. Well, see, that's the thing where it was a shortcoming on my part because I'm walking, I mean, I have a dual role. One is being a member of the veterans community, the council, things of that nature. Looking at that, and I, again, I'm privy to certain information. And then being a member of the so-called media, you know. And what I need to do from now on when I go into the, you know, with these meetings is clearly state what role I'm playing, you know. And as far as in this particular case, and not saying, you know, where I, again, information that I can, say I can come out with, but I don't think it's time would be appropriate. It's not a cop-out, but like I say, in the future, like I say, I will do so. But for now, when I'm dealing with individuals who are in positions where they have a responsibility, it will be clear exactly what role I'm playing. So they have the opportunity to go ahead and either decline to speak to me or to follow up, you know. So but that's been the situation here.
Yeah. Well, you, I know you got the poem. We're not rushed. We're going to in the next hour because, you know, you have such a pretty face. And that
you're much too kind.
I wouldn't dare separate from you now.
People don't know I have a face for radio, but that's another story. Okay.
Anyway, Tina, so they're without commenting on others there at the facility because, you know, it's all I imagine this is big. We talk about North Korea pointing a missile at us. I think to myself, we have a miniature one here going on over at the YWCA because you got to sign in, sign out. But let me ask you, Tina, the purpose of this, and I read some documents that they were supposed to give you vocational training or for job training, correct?
Correct.
Have they presented you with one solid job training class?
No.
And a couple occasions, what, someone did come to do that and what was
someone
said?
Someone came and then they found out the funding was inappropriate. He came and took my information and said, I'll get back to you on that. I never seen the person again. And we do have you can go in the computer room and there's the board empty, but it says housing, jobs, and it sits empty. It's mind-boggling the things they choose to focus on, like crafts. We get a lot of crafts in categories. It makes people bang their heads against the wall.
Well, now let me ask you this: are you gonna make a special car for me and Calvin here because we did, we were nice to you today. You've learned all of this.
I'm actually making a colored poster for you. We had arts and crafts and I was given some, the markers and unfortunately they were drying up and the lady told me that I could go and buy my own markers to finish the poster. So as soon as I, have a few extra dollars, I'm going to buy my markers and I'm going to finish those posters for you and Calvin.
Well, oh, by the way, and please don't exclude our beloved, our friend here, the technician Francis, because I'm sure he'd like to be included into this.
Yes, yeah, so. I really appreciate you taking the time and I hope that people take this serious when I have to watch a young lady go back onto active duty and pound her head against the wall. And I'm helping to triage her. This is serious, and I'm not just trying to bitch and moan.
Yeah, well.
Okay.
Well, anyway, we'll come back in the next hour, and I know this. Believe you me, I have all kinds of things to talk about where we're paying $1,300,000 to a recycler just to haul glass up the highway to Wahiwa, you know, and then we got the border water. But this thing with the Veterans Administration and how Ron Hahn and Tracy Betts allow this to happen on their turf, and they got the time to talk to a man. So we'll be back, and if you'd like to join us again, this is the Carol Cox Show. I have Calvin Griffin, former the Hawaii broadcast. What was the Hawaii Community Broadcast?
No.
Go ahead. Give
Hawaii
me.
Bulletin Board.
Hawaii Bulletin Board. It's been so long. You need to come by more often. And Tina Kazan. So we'll be back shortly. Aloha.
For the second half of the Carol Cox Show, right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108.
This is KWAI Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Too much of anything is not good for you, baby. But I don't know about that. As many times as we've loved and we've shared love and made love, doesn't seem to me like it's enough. It's just not enough. It's just not enough.
Oh, oh, babe.
Oh, babe.
My darling, I can't get enough of your love, babe. Girl, I don't know why I can't get enough of your love, babe. Some things I can't get used to, no matter how I try. It's like the more you give, the more I want. And baby, that's no lie. Oh, no, babe. Tell me, what can I say? What am I gonna do? How should I feel when everything is you? What kind of love is this that you're giving me? Is it in your kiss or just because you're sweet? Girl, all I know is every time you're here, I feel a change, something moving. I scream your name, cause what you got to do is, darling, I can't get enough for your love, baby. Girl, your love for me is all I need, and more than I can stand. Oh, well, babe, how can I explain all the things I feel? You've given me so much, girl, you're so unreal still. I keep loving you more and more each time. Girl, what am I gonna do? Cause you're blowing my mind. I get the same old feeling every time you're here. I feel a change, something moves. I scream your name, look what you got to do with it, darling. I can't get enough of your love, babe. Oh, no, babe.
Really didn't take all of my life to find you. But you can believe it's gonna take the rest of my life to keep you. We'll be right back.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Hey, good morning again, and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. My guest here is Mr. Calvin Griffin. We're talking veterans issues, and I guess not all issues, but just talking. And then I have Tina Kazan on the phone for a bit here. But Calvin has a poem that he's going to read to us. And did you write this, or do we credit this poem for?
Actually, this is a poem that someone had passed off to me years ago.
And, was it written by Thoreau, or?
Actually, it's an unknown poet. I have no idea who wrote it, but I made certain changes, so I guess you can say I plagiarized it. But I think it, you know, gets the sentiment across. But yeah,
plagiarize as long as it's a pleasure for us to listen to.
Oh, okay, yeah. Other than that, whoever, if you're the unknown poet, please call me. Have your lawyer call my lawyer.
Remember to sue Calvin Griffin, not Carol.
Yeah, but this is something that I read from time to time on my program, and I think it is the sentiment of you know, what's happening, like I say, with the vets. Mm-hmm. And if I may at this moment clear my throat.
You want some vodka for that?
Vodka? No, I'll have to wait. But yeah. But yeah. He was getting old and paunchy, and his hair was fading fast. And he sat around the clubhouse telling stories of the past, of the war he had fought in, in the deeds that he had done, in his exploits with his buddies. They were heroes, every one. And though sometimes to his neighbors his tales became a joke, all his buddies listened, for they knew whereof he spoke. But we'll hear his tales no longer, for old Ed has passed away, and the world's a little poorer, for a veteran died today. Now he won't be mourned by many, just his children and his wife, for he lived an ordinary, very quiet sort of life. He held a job, raised a family, quietly going on his way, and though the world won't notice passing, though the veteran died today. When politicians leave this earth, their bodies lie in state, while thousands note their passing and proclaim that they were great. Papers tell of their life stories from the time that they were young, but the passing of a veteran goes unnoticed and unsung. He was just a common veteran, and his ranks are growing thin, but his presence should remind him, us, we may need his likes again. But when our countries are in conflict, then we find the military's part is to clean up all the troubles that the politicians start. If we cannot do him honor while he's here to hear the praise, then at least let's give him a homage at the ending of his days. Perhaps just a simple headline in the paper that may say, our country is in mourning for a veteran died today.
All right. And that was Calvin Griffin reading an untitled
veteran died today. Yeah,
but very touching.
But, this is something like say where again we have a lot of unsung heroes and people out there to serve the country, and then with the system, as we were talking in the previous hour, that are victimized by it, you know, by a country system that they serve so well, you know, and many of them we hear about. There's, again, the problems out there. But we have the ones that really need it. You know, it's a funny thing. Not funny, you know, ha-ha.
I understand.
But the thing is, we have so many veterans out there, the military personnel, that would say, take care of my friend or take care of someone else because they need it more than I do. And in a lot of cases, we're talking about people who are in extreme, dire situations, and they think more of their fellow veteran or battle buddy than they do of themselves. Mm-hmm. And these are the people, like I said, that really get screwed over by the system. It's those who sometimes know how to scam the system or know the right people to be able to get their claims taken care of and things of that nature. And like I said, it's just disheartening and a little bit disgusting, you know, what's happening.
Yeah, there's no perfect system. But, you know, and the likes of the VA and the YWCA situation here. You just take the basic business approach. You start a new business, you get your inventory, you get your signage, you get your press, you advertise, and you're ready up and running. Mm-hmm. But you only have enough that would probably sustain you for 1 month. Mm-hmm. So you have to look beyond that and decide, well, I need to replenish my inventory. I need to continuously have press and advertise, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I got to get the word out. And then I got to monitor to see if my patrons are happy and like the food.
Right.
Well, that's the same. This process should not have escaped Ron Hahn, Neil Abercrombie, because, you know, if I was Neil Abercrombie sitting there with Kimberly Pine and others sitting there stuffing my face with barbecue shrimp, mm-hmm. I would go, wow, is this going to be like this every day?
Mm-hmm.
It's getting nice. I think I might want to abandon my councilship and governorship and come over here and stay. Grill shrimp and valet parking, champagne glasses, what the heck?
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
But the reality is they know darn well that that was never going to happen.
Yeah.
And they walked away. And so I always associate Governor Neil Abercrombie with this because he appointed Ron Hahn. And Ron Hahn is the eyes and ears and the heartbeat and keeps his finger on the pulse, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, early on, it's not about the good guys. It's the real good guys, those women that are there that gave 5 years of their lives, mm-hmm. 2 years, 3 years, or some of them are still continually serving.
Yeah. As one of the circumstances we had talked about, we're not going to, of course, give her a name, but you have the young lady that's involved in the program over there who is active reserve.
Mm-hmm.
And she really got screwed over by the fact that right before she was to be activated, they told her that she would have to vacate. And this was even after she paid her monthly fee to include parking.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very stressful situation for her. She went through the appointed training that she was supposed to go through. And unfortunately, there was a incident where she had a chance to do top honors to, I'm not going to mention the list because, well.
Right? I mean, it's. Yeah.
The thing is, she missed it by 1 point.
Mm-hmm.
And if it wasn't for the fact that she was under this very stressful situation, it would have had, could have had a major impact on her career, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But,
mm-hmm.
Again, what she had to go through was totally unconscionable and immoral. Mm-hmm. There's no way in the world we should have individuals go through this, male or female. But another thing that we kind of fail in a lot of cases to talk about is the plight of our military veterans. You know, people don't want to talk about that. You know, the one thing you don't see on TV or, you know, any especially visual is when you have females that come back with limbs missing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You have instances where a lot of them are going through a traumatic emotional, especially if they're mothers, going through a combat area. And one incident in particular that I'm familiar with, the young lady did, young female soldier, did multiple tours in Afghanistan and a few other places. And in those environments, sometimes you have to take a life to preserve lives, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And in this particular case where she was forced to terminate the life of younger civilians over there, and it's something when you do something like that, no matter what the purpose is, with the justification, mission, accomplishment, all these, and then you come back and you have to look in the eyes of your own child who was about the same age as one that was involved in a particular incident.
Mm-hmm.
And in one incident in particular, we had a young lady that hung herself in front of her child. This happened over here. We don't hear about the suicides and, you know, things that happen along those lines. Because I believe a lot of things that happen over here as far as with the so-called accidents are actually suicides. Because when they come back here, all these individuals going through, they have different programs that's supposed to be in place. But somewhere along the line, when we lose more people to suicide than we do to combat, because to give you another example, in October of last year, we lost more troops here in the state of Hawaii than we did in any combat situation around the world. And that was all to suicide. But again, they put a clamp on that. They don't want to talk about these things. But this is the nature of what's going on, you know.
Mm-hmm. So I wonder if they share this information with the local police department, because ultimately the police probably going to be one of the first people to have to try and deal with the individuals who's held themselves up in a house, because mm-hmm. a lot of the military do live off base, and they find themselves in these predicaments off base.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what percentage of the responses or barricades that are really soldiers. And, yeah. and so it's a shame that a guy like Ron Hahn and others will talk about matters such as this off the record, but the reality is there are guys out there driving cars and trucks, getting drunk, or reacting and causing a deadly situation, or boarding themselves up, or yeah. acting out of because of the stress and what have you. Who knows?
Yeah.
You know, so. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Yes. Good morning. Hi, Calvin.
Hello.
And Carol.
Hi.
This is Lana. Long time, remember?
Oh.
You go way back
right.
when you had your radio program.
Yes. Thank you very much for calling in.
Hey, no, I said, hey, that voice. I've heard it before, and then you sound so familiar, and I said, yeah. okay, and I finally registered, and yeah, no, you know why I called? Because your poem, it was so moving and touching that, you know, it's so appropriate at this time because of the honoring the veterans, you know, that go for broke, right? The 442 mm-hmm. at the Bishop Museum. Mm-hmm. People should go and check it out, you know, and you should have a plaque. I mean, get in touch with the Bishop Museum and write it down because that's something that children to elders would read that. You know, they have plaques and information of whatever the display.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You should have yours there because that is something that people, even children, would want to read. Yeah. And it's so touching and moving. Mm-hmm. And it's too precise what, you know.
Yeah.
Well, what you were trying to express.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. I'd still like to find out, you know, the original author of it, because, like I said, I did make some minor changes to it. But as far as the sentiment and the wording, I mean, you know, I wish I could come up with something that is eloquent.
You shouldn't hide those things. That was well done, like a professional.
Well, thank
you
very
much. But, Carol, you know, I give you kudos because, boy, we had it. We didn't have you. I don't know what all these people, I feel so sorry. I'm, you know, a lot of times I get so emotional that I get tummy ache. That's why I try not to get too much involved. I guess I'm getting all older. I get too emotional. I guess because I have, you know, I'm real patriotic, but I try to do my best what I can, but there's a limit to human whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I give you guys credit because you guys still there trucking along, man.
Yeah, well.
So anyway, I just want to thank Carol for his program and having you on.
Thank you.
And you haven't changed. Your voice is still the same like when I left you many moons ago.
Well, like I said, I appreciate all the support because we had talked offline and a lot of things. And like I say, I, you know, a lot of people, you know, as far as getting
your show was something bulletin, right?
Yes, ma'am. I'm still on, I'm doing a Lello program, the TV program, which comes on regularly, but,
excuse me, sir, when and where and how you can give yourself a plug.
I didn't want to promote myself.
But anyway, Carol, thank you so much for being there.
You're welcome.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, give her the time and are you still there, Lorna? Anyway, at the Bishop Museum, on the Go for Broke display, it's really cool. I read some pieces of it. But give your show. You have your show on.
Yeah, it's the Hawaii Bulletin Board TV program, and we're on Channel 54, and it comes on quite regularly. We don't have a regular series right now, but we're on frequently, you know, so we've been getting a lot of good responses from that because one of the things we do talk about on the program is basically information like this where, you know, not only the what's going on with the veterans and the military personnel, but also the politics and things of that nature. Okay.
So I get a few comments from Tina with what is your situation now? How are the ladies faring over there? Have they come and interviewed any of you, not for the investigation, but to ask you what's wrong, what can they fix, or is it working for you? Have you, and let's say just an assessment. I don't mean the U.S. vets, folks. I'm talking about the Veterans Administration. Have they come and spoken to you or others?
No, they haven't. And I got really choked up at Calvin's poem because there's no hope here. You asked me earlier, what's the feeling here? And it's a feeling of no hope. You know, you come here, you're already homeless, needing help. And all they get is just harassment and retaliation for filing my complaints and asking for my files, mm-hmm. you know, for the records, and told I'm not allowed to have it, and, mm-hmm. and then being reminded. It's some mornings, people that are walking down the roll call, it's so heavy, it's so, it's just, it's a feeling of no hope.
Yeah, so it appears, Calvin, that what's from my perspective of where I'm perched, they're creating work for themselves because they can't deliver what they got the money for.
Mm-hmm.
And no one's come to them and say, just like you holding the veterans to signing in and signing out, mm-hmm. or to you requiring them to get a parking pass, and to you requiring them to be back at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock or 11 o'clock, or you can't go for the first 60 days, depending on what level you come in on the program.
Mm-hmm.
You can't leave without supervision, those kinds of rules.
Yeah.
When it reminds me of the kid that got ill from heat stroke, it could have been prevented, and here's how it could have been prevented. Well, the coach and his crew stands under a tent with large hats on.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they know the heat and the sun, you know, and all of that takes a toll.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, he's comfortable, and the children are not, so you're going to probably have some problems. Well, this is the same thing with the U.S. vets. If we put how you combat mischievous, you know, behavior on the part of the vendor,
mm-hmm.
you require them to report to you in a genuine report,
mm-hmm.
and you do unannounced visits as an administrator of the veterans. The Ron Hans, instead of playing golf or whatever he does in his, and Miss Betts, who gets all that money and stand there and say, you don't talk to me, you talk to my public relations, go and make an unannounced visit. And ask the veterans, what's the delivery? And they probably would have heard, I'm so sick and tired of eating this meat that's expired for 4 months that I would probably jump and shout if you were just to give me a tofu burger.
Yeah, but the thing is, with the there's so many different layers when you're dealing with the system anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, not making excuses for Ron or anybody else out there, but the thing is, you got people that have been in positions, because even, like, say, the appointees, you just got people who are appointed. You got people on a lower level who are there consistently, that no matter who changes at the top, they're there, you know. But, again, there's no excuse for, you know, for any of our veterans being ill-served by any entity whatsoever, whether it be a vendor or anything like that, or, you know, mm-hmm. along those nature anyhow. But, no, it's... like I say, it just really gets, when you're talking with situations like, say, with Tina, and, I mean, this is just the tip of the iceberg, you know.
Yeah.
It's so much more, like I say, has to be and should be addressed, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, unless we put the monkey on the back of the zookeeper that is carry the keys to the locks of the gates.
Yeah.
When the monkey is running around loose, we have to blame the zookeeper.
Well, yeah.
I mean, and you know, I mean, that's just, you know, then, you know, if the zookeeper says, well, it was the lawn boy who did it,
yeah.
who left the lock open, then he's still responsible because he should have taught the lawn boy to use extra precaution.
Right.
Well, because monkeys have a tendency to want to do monkey business and get out there and monkey around.
I know,
right?
That's why I stay away from monkeys as much as possible.
But that's, I'm just saying this is monkey business over there at the YWCA, because they didn't know. They should have known.
Mm-hmm.
It speaks to their inability to put in place safeguards, checks and balances. First of all, that's just to start with that. Strip it naked.
Yeah.
If you didn't do that, you're wrong. But that's okay. Mm-hmm. Then when the veterans come and tell you, I'm having a problem, and you get slapped back and you get a letter signed, here's our investigation, boom, go mm-hmm. you know what with yourself.
Yeah.
But then that's two occasions it's failed.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a big slap in the face.
Mm-hmm.
It's when the public calls,
mm-hmm.
and then the public gets the same chef.
Mm-hmm.
We can't talk about it because we can't comment about it right now. You have more information than I do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, isn't that funny? I have more information than you do about this, and it's your business and not mine. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's at some point we have to take people out back to the woodshed and show them how the calf ate the cabbage. They're nice people. Mm-hmm. The commissions and the all those people that's gather monthly, weekly, the council. Mm-hmm. Where are they in this thing? I mean, they're understand?
Yeah. They're all part of the problem because, like I said, it's something's being this widespread. You mean that there's no way in the world these people have plausible deniability saying, okay, I did not know what was going on. All these people, like I say, is just totally, I mean, ridiculous, you know?
And the solution is just do what's right.
Yep.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Yes, good morning. I called earlier.
Anytime.
Calvin, I got a question. Sure. You know, concerning the vets, their rights and whatnot. Do they have somebody advocate like a union type? Do you think it would be better to have somebody to represent them to when they go to talk to Mr. Hahn or any other official? They have a witness there seeing what was going on and then can follow up with the claim or anything. And another thing is, I'm appalled that the VA people don't train the people to get a job, how to do an interview, how to write a resume, contact the different federal sectors to see if they can be put in a job there, a base, mm-hmm. with a morale, welfare, recreation, see if there's jobs out there for them to work on the base.
Yep.
Get, because they're former military, they understand the military. Mm-hmm. It would be beneficial if they work with the military, and I would say that's a good place too.
Yeah.
And then a forum. Have you ever had a forum with the VA and the veterans to come together and somebody mediate and discuss the issues and try to resolve the problems at the lowest possible level before it escalates?
Well, speaking on that one right there, when they do have these so-called community conferences and things of that nature, it's held on a weekday. It's held between 8, 9 o'clock in the morning when most people have to work, you know. So there's not a real true representation of what's going on in the veterans community when you're talking about these different conferences that they have. And they say, well, we're out there, we're doing this, we held this conference, and we're doing our fact-finding tours and things of that nature. But nothing really gets done. I've been hearing, for the past 12 to 15 years that I've been involved with veterans issues, it's the same thing. You know, when they come in, they want to tell you, that we're doing this. And a lot of people mistake activity for action. And there's a lot of activity, but very low action. When you're talking about programs that are supposed to help the vets, recently they put a program in place that was supposed to help with job training. And then come to find out, they don't have enough funding where the veteran can complete the course.
Right.
You know? And as far as advocates are concerned, there's people out there that work on an individual basis to help certain people out. You know, there's a lot of good people out there trying their best. But as far as true advocates, it's very rare. Even with some of these so-called organizations that have veteran service officers that's supposed to advocate for you, for the most part, again, it's who you know. And if you don't know the right VSO or veteran service officer, something along those lines, you know, you get very little done, you know. And that's why people get so frustrated, you know. And the other little ugly secret that goes on is, you know, when you get frustrated, they don't talk about the number of veteran suicides also.
Yeah, so.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
Calvin,
yes.
Is there a website that I can get in contact with you or email?
Yes, I'll tell you. I'll just give you my email over, you know. It's Calvin Griffin, G-R-I-F-F-I-N, at rocketmail.com.
Rocketmail.com.
Yes.
Calvin Griffin.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, and you have a website too?
Not right now, but I think what I have, I do have one, but it needs to be updated. But, oh, yeah, I'll tell you what. You can go to broadcast50.com.
Carol, can you put that on your website?
I sure will.
I'll check on it after.
Okay, yeah, because there's
appreciate some.
Appreciate it. Oh, thank you very much for your call.
You.
All right. Tina, you have a comment real quick, and then we're going to. Comments?
Well, I have a feeling our next fun day is going to be the activity Barrel of Monkeys. I hope that the VA and General Shinseki will. Do an independent investigation. Mm-hmm. I think there should be a someone to advocate and be with me when I think that's a good suggestion, having someone on your side when you're sitting there and they're telling you everything's closed and the matters, the grievance, your complaints being solved, resolved. And then when you're having to sit in your next meeting and hear about your complaint again. So there's no one there for you.
Right.
And it's really disheartening at a time when we're supposed to be uplifted and I'm supposed to be finding hope.
Right. Well, okay. Well, hang in there and we'll see what the Vincents and the Hans will be doing about this, apparently. It's pretty cool, man, when you can get a lion's share of $28.4 million and have little or zero constraints, and then when you violate conditions or violate the entity that is supposed to benefit from that program, and then you get the administrators of the VA to watch the front door where they then go ahead and work him over. And by the time, if we do our investigation, that person will be so frazzled in the believability. We would have documented that they've taken two coffee creamers out of the refrigerator. Mm-hmm. You see, I'm sorry when I hear that in the same sentence that they're nice people and they do good things.
Mm-hmm.
When you bother to repeat and report that a veteran takes two coffee creamers from a stupid refrigerator, I'm sorry. That is, in my opinion, that's where I ring the bell and say, that's pretty ghetto.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Yeah, I did have to take the rotten meat, though.
Yeah, well, yeah, but how did it smell anyway? Did you hold your nose when you were biting into the sandwich, or did you use mayonnaise or mustard? Can you help me out on here?
You could use the meat for shot put. I thought I was eating plastic. I was like, what? I couldn't figure out quite what I was eating.
Yeah, I saw one of those pieces, and I thought, well, why complain, Tina? We could take this meat, and instead of, you know, you go to the store and buy that thing you put under your furniture to move it and keep from leaving it in, you could use a piece of that meat and put it under there. Did it not look that way, Tina?
Hey, maybe that'll be an invention I can create and have a business plan with that.
Yeah. So I know you and I were joking about it, but it's disgusting and it's insulting. Forget what was said and who's nice and who's naughty. It's just that these are veterans or human beings. Let's start with that, right? That they would be feeding them and then go, oh, we didn't know. You have more information than I do. Well, then
you can get it down with some soda that's from June and July. So,
yeah.
I mean, you can wash down that old meat. They'll give you some old soda to do that with.
And we have pictures of that on the website. The soda's expired in June. Mind you, I know there's some people out there, what do you want? Everything for free. Well, I'd rather not have anything if you're going to jeopardize the chance.
You get people in Gitmo that get better food than from what I've seen, you know, was out there, you know.
Yeah, they're fed to their belief, you know. No pork, no, right?
And it wasn't just the veterans that were served the old soda. These were YWCA clients from all over the world drinking old soda.
Well, good for them. Good for them. The YWCA is part of this program. That's good for them. I think they're probably, we'll call it the grand watering hole now. So, but anyway, but thank you, Tina. We'll be checking in and we'll see and. We'll see if they are true to their word, if they're going to investigate. But it's just this marching of – it's all window dressing, and I just can't believe it. So anyway, well thank you, Tina.
Thank you.
Right,
thank you. Thank you, Calvin.
Right. Thank you. All right. Tina gone? Okay. Just to let her know, no, she won't be alone as far as with the – anything that comes up in the future, anyhow. There are some individuals right now that are working to.
Yeah, but they would have better work fast because they'll be accusing she and others of taking too many sugar packets out of there. You know what I mean? See, and this is the thing that I'm privy to a lot of this information.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what's sickening? I had one of the veterans administrators ask me, you mean. Those people are talking to you like that and sharing that information. That's their private information.
Yeah.
Well, if you are abusing someone and they're appealing to you, and you fail them to insulate them and protect them from abuse, are you shocked that they would be compelled to go out and seek relief through other means?
Yeah, but a lot of them, you turn around, they have these different so-called like the homeless vet program and everything else.
Right.
A lot of them, when the representatives from the different government agencies goes out there to talk to them, they head for the bushes. Mm-hmm. Because first off, they've been screwed around for so long in all these different programs. The last thing they need to be is either experimented upon or either abused by the system.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the people out there say that, you know, the powers that be, well, we're helping the vets. Well, mm-hmm. who are you helping? And how are you helping them? You know, yeah. And what's your percentage?
Well, I question the professional qualifications of the people that are running that facility.
Yeah.
And I have to reflect back on when I was younger, during the Head Start days and where there were government programs, mm-hmm. to relief programs. And this is, and I must make this and share this openly, it was something that I don't know if it's a stigma or I had learned to expect this, but for the people that need help, was it Head Start or whatever, if there was food involved, the people that were in control over that, they would have boxes and rooms filled with the product that was supposed to be given mm-hmm. to the people, to the children, to be served as food. But instead, you found a great bit of this on the streets being handed, and the party that was overseeing it mm-hmm. had these things in excess, whether it was flour, bread, butter, whatever it was,
yeah.
clothing, somehow. And then these individuals, they dressed fine. They got themselves a gold tooth and a jerry curl. I mean, just the facts of the facts. And three-piece suit. And they put the screw to the people that they are in place. Their sole existence is to help these people, and they're to administer these programs. And they take it as though this is an opportunity to beat up on the people, to abuse them. And in turn, the people that assigned them that role or hired them turn their backs on the clients. That has been common practice, whether it's in Indiana, Mississippi, Illinois, Tennessee, that I've lived in. Let me tell you, it always presents itself in that fashion. And so I question, because the display, it's very ghetto-ish in that when you raise these issues and your civil rights issues and when you're taking people to the church, as my grandmother would say, Lord bless their soul. When you don't bother to discern whether, okay, this is government money, this is government matters, these are people that may not share my same values or understanding beliefs. Mm-hmm. So I shouldn't be incorporating and mixing my religious activities, personal religious activities, with these clients. Where is the outcry and the concern for that? So I just think that this whole team that's been assembled there, if we were to look at their professional skills and backgrounds, mm-hmm. we'd find that getting past the fancy suits and whatever, we'd find that they can't deliver because they're not.
Yeah, well, you got some people out there that when they do get in these positions, and they may have been in the same position before, it's like, I got mine, now you get yours, you know, and I'm going to milk this for everything it's worth. Mm-hmm. You're talking about civil rights. We're talking about human rights, you know, where a lot of people – I mean, the point is missing mm-hmm. where, you know,
That's okay.
Let me look that up in the dictionary.
The degrading, the degrading of oneself.
Right. You know, and part of the problem is the fact that, you know, you're getting the word out there. Because yeah. a lot of people, it's like after the fact, when something does hit the fan and they say, you know, the word does get out. And a lot of people say, well, if I had known about this or I had known about that, I would have did something. And there's a lot of people that, you know, plausible deniability. You know, if I don't know about something, mm-hmm. I don't have to do anything about it, you know. And the thing is, we're all in the same boat together. The thing is, what's happening with the veterans is happening across the country and different other aspects of of our society politically, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, we have to stand up, like say, and take responsibility when you see something that's going on. You know, you can't say, well, it doesn't apply to me. Well, maybe one day it will. You say, who's going to be there for you when it does, when it, that situation does arise, you know?
Yeah, well, I've always, I just believe that when you have government money and an administration of government agencies and entities responsible and taking on that responsibility,
yeah.
either shape up or get out. Is, you know, there's just there's no room for debating, in my opinion. No room for the good fellas, mm-hmm. you know, because if we stand by and watch it being operated this way, that's exactly what the Veterans Administration is behaving like, the good fellas, because you speak out as a client. Your files don't get processed. You get retaliated against. You get banished. And imagine working, being a client at a facility and some person that's unskilled or is out to get you because you've spoken out. Not spoken out just in a general sense, but to preserve your rights and the others. And they, in turn, move in to take and place in your file, which is always going to be riding with you, right? Mm-hmm. That you're stealing two coffee creamers. And, you know, come on. And or you didn't get your parking, or you stepped outside the property and then you stepped back in, but you forgot to sign in. But you're there on time as required. It's just that you forgot to sign in.
Yeah, it's power and it's abuse of power.
Well, and that's where we need to we need to dig at it, root it out, because it's unacceptable. It's fixable. And then I just still chuckle though when. They have no problem. I look at U.S. Vets about 1 in the morning. They have a commercial.
Oh, they do?
Oh.
I missed it.
I'm brother, sorry. Where you been all these nights?
You don't want to know.
Well, wait, let's talk about it.
That's another expose later on. Yeah.
Well, you know, and there's Daryl Vincent standing up there with a smiling face, and then I think to myself, Who are you advertising for, first of all? I mean, I'm an ignorant man when it comes to business approaches and plan. But let's get this right. You are a nonprofit organization, and you are advertising. You're not saying come one, come all if you have no place to stay and all that, per se. I'm just thinking you're advertising this, and you're getting government money, and you're getting nonprofit money. Who are you soliciting?
Good point.
I mean, veterans that it's in need, the Veterans Administration should be aggressively pursuing those. And when they go to the VA hospital or the doctors and what have you, or in their checks or something, that they get a bulletin, or the VA should be providing the veterans with a public announcement at nighttime. Mm-hmm. Well, come on the Carol Cox Show, but I see we don't rank, you know. So, but I, and you have a lot of them on your show, a lot of them, and they seem to very talkative.
Well, they're very talkative because one or two things: either they can come on and participate, or they can, you know, be left, you know, left behind. Like, say, with my program, and you know, even with your program, I'll give you the facts. You know, we'll talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give you the opportunity, like say if there is something out there that it might be a miss or be they're misconstrued, then it needs to be clarified, you know, because it's not all about the sensationalism about, you know, going after anybody or whatever. But the thing is, to if there is rumblings or something out there that the public is talking about, then, you know, if there is a misconception on the part of the recipients, then, okay, let's clarify. Let's find out what's going on, you know. Yeah. And that's why when they come on the show, no, I don't pull any punches. I'm not going to sit there and ask any softball questions. Like, say, you come, you take it as it is. But same thing. Like, there's certain politicians that won't come on your program.
Oh, not. No. There's certain politicians I won't bother invite because I don't want to be sitting there wasting the human spirit and have them. The show here is put together for us little folks because. Us little folks, you notice I don't even screen the names because we got too much conglomerate media approach, you know, and they won't do a story unless the governor office comment, you know, while I I don't care if they come on the show because the facts are going to be there. And, for example, speaking of as Daryl Young, who's now another one of Abercrombie's appointees, he's up now for the deputy director of DHHL. Mm-hmm. He's taken it upon himself to hide documents and delay the delivery of documents that shows Ms. Malama Solomon, Senator Malama Solomon, there's some questions raised about her leases, which I've asked for. So really don't really need them to come on the show. I just need the information.
Yeah.
And so it's not that they just don't come on the show.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that they don't even respect my rights and my rights to act and function mm-hmm. as a journalist or a reporter or whatever.
Yeah.
So I do it and hammer it out my own way.
Yeah.
And boy, does it feel good. I don't know what I'm going to get at the end, but mm-hmm. I'm going to hammer away.
Well, you know, the thing is getting involved. There's a lot, I think a lot of people want to get involved, and they're not fortunate like yourself or myself to be able to have access to the airwaves, you know, because it does take, I mean, you sit behind a mic and getting out there, you know, either on a regular basis, you're working without a net, you know. And the thing is, if it does take a lot out of you. I mean, to me, truthfully, sometimes I get so mentally and psychologically and spiritually drained after doing certain programs. But the thing is, it has to be done. You know, it's not about being, it's just about being conscientious, you know. And I think a lot of people want to do something. And I think if they really knew the facts, they would be out there up in arms, you know, trying to do something that's positive, not only for, you know.
I'm going to have to invite you to join me in where I drink from.
Kool-Aid?
Well, it's really good Kool-Aid.
Okay.
Because I've never exhausted because
yeah.
When you see one aspect of the human character rotten to the core and political and administrative and bureaucratic,
yeah.
and then you see this person that's a citizen, just like me, and that's what I am, yeah. Citizen Carol. And you can combat. So for me, I'm never drained. In fact, I'm invigorated when I see just to be able to have a caller to call up and express their concerns, their opinions, without having to tell their name. Because in this town, you know, if you speak out against somebody, the Abercrombies and the Mufi cronies and all the other the Hanabusa cronies and the Inouye cronies and, you know, the Caldwell cronies. And you follow where I'm going
yeah.
with this?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the joy of this. This is a powerhouse.
Oh, no.
You know,
yeah.
And 2,000 downloads a night or 7,000 at times on the show, on the website. So I think if the politicians were smart, they'd probably treat me a little more kinder because, see, if I love you, I'm more likely to have a relationship with you. I care for you. But
yeah.
if you screw me, I'm going to, you know, get the word out that that's what you're about.
Yeah, well, it's all about transparency. And the thing is, you know, like, you don't screen any calls. I don't screen calls on any of my programs. Like we did a live TV program. Somebody called up and tried to embarrass me. The thing is, you know, if you're going to bring it strong. You know, don't come up with no half-baked stuff anyhow.
Yeah,
but the thing is, conveying the information and dealing with the facts, because hopefully, like, say, something that you or I do as far as addressing certain issues, that would embolden another or encourage other people to speak up, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And believe me, it's your voice has a very powerful, is very powerful. And like I say, even for the average individual, you know? By speaking up, talking to your friends, your neighbors about your concerns, it does have a ripple effect, you know?
Right. So. Well, as long as we do our little bit and every little pebble thrown into the pond creates ripples. That's my opinion. And where those ripples go, as they radiate out, if I only touch one person, that last week, for example, I think KHON did the show on the Hawaii Youth Corrections Facility after we broke the story here and to talk about it. Those are meaningful things. You know, they may see it as playing.
Mm-hmm.
I see it as something that we as a community have that we can rely on, and I'm never going to not state the facts and the truth, and I wouldn't care if they beat me down with, you know.
Yeah.
But it's we need it. In a democracy, you have to nurture it and continue to speak out and demonstrate to others that it's okay to speak out, and then, you know, and if you find yourself in a pineapple field and, you know, and in a compromising position,
mm-hmm.
just know that you got there because you were trying to do what's right.
Yeah.
You follow.
Yep.
Not because you didn't deliver the guy his money back who sold you a pound of crack.
Mm-hmm.
You follow?
Yeah.
So I can live with that. And so if the politicians don't come on, it's okay. Because one day they'll come to realization that I think Americans are about to take back our country from all of this behavior that we see. The people that have insulated themselves and enamored themselves with protections and public relations persons and, you know, communications officers and what have you, and the public gets ripped.
Well,
so I think I predict that in the next 5 years,
we're
going to see politicians in this country.
Mm-hmm.
We can take it back. I mean, I believe in that. Yeah. I've watched America change in many ways.
We're on the verge of a revolution. How and what form it's going to take is something totally.
It's already morphing itself.
It's coming.
I mean, enough is enough.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when seniors, people that have worked hard, given so much, and out their struggle, and they think they got it set to get them through that last couple of years of their life, and Board of Water Supply send you a bill, and now they want to charge you for overcharging you, for letting you know that they're overcharging you. You know this. Anyway, but thank you for joining me, and anytime, come back, and I want to share a little food for thought. And we'll do this again on the veterans thing. I want to assure Ron Hahn and all those others, while they may talk to you off the record, I'm going to talk about them on the air.
Okay.
So, you know, if you talk to them again, tell them they're welcome to come on, but come with some strategies and some assurances that our veterans are going to get the service that Congress and the Senate and our leaders have set aside these monies, and it's not their place to play with it.
I'll pass
so you're going to have a show May 11th?
Yes, we're going to be doing a live broadcast on Channel 54, May 11th.
What time?
I think the time is going to be, I think, between 5 and 6.
Call me back and send me an email.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just a little food for thought, you know, how we trust so many people. Here's something, the Hawaiian Council of Churches statement on same gender. This is a different subject, but I want to demonstrate when we put our trust in who we put our trust in and what's in a name. So Hawaiian Council of Churches statement on same gender marriage. Then our state of Hawaii, its citizens and religious communities are in the throes of a public debate about whether persons of the same gender who wish to enter into covenantal relationship should be granted the same legal rights and privileges as heterosexual married couples. This debate has embroiled many in the religious sector. Foremost, those in the Christian community is in divisive debate on the sanctity of marriage and the morality and homosexuality and the civil rights of persons with same gender orientation. Flaming the debate is the equating of civil recognition of marriage or domestic partnership with the spiritual significance of covenantal relationship. The one is civil rights issue. The latter is a religious issue. While people of faith may begin to approach common grounds on the civil rights issue, there's no consensus on the sanctity and meaning of marriage, its definition, or whether it should be open to gay and lesbian. And then I just received a letter. The FBI website, they sent out a note. And it's just funny, and I'm not throwing rocks here, but it says, former pastor sentenced to serve 10 years in federal prison for possession of child pornography. Now, you see, we have the Catholic Church doing this, and they have a great say in our government. They're right?
Mm-hmm.
And daily you find these reports. And here is a Denver Richard Howard Kraft, age 69, of Thornton, Colorado, was sentenced today by the U.S. District Court Judge Brooke Jackson to serve 120 months or 10 years in federal prison for possession of child pornography. Right?
Yeah.
So what I raise that just to say to all of you, mind your own business. And if you believe in God, let God sort it out. It's none of your business about the gender and whatever and same-sex marriages, especially some of these same people that lead the church.
Mm-hmm.
Or as conflicted as anything they can imagine that they accuse and say why we shouldn't tolerate same-sex marriage. That's not, what is it called? It's just wrong. Yeah. And I offer that just not to be a smarty butt, but smarty pants, but just to say we need to be careful of what we get our sources and who we believe in and who we follow.
Yeah.
Because it's none of your business if Robert and Robert are lovers.
Yeah.
Right?
No. Thing is, if you're looking for a leader, look in the mirror.
Or if you're looking for a leader, check their computers first to see if they got any child pornography. Amen on that. All right. I'll talk to you later. This is the Carol Cox Show, and thank all of you for joining me. Calvin, thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks for Tina. Aloha.
To the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on K108. Tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show, right here at KWAI Honolulu.